Now, here's your host, an American original and pioneering patriot, Tom Donahue.
Good day and welcome, America and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue, joined by my contributing host, Angeline Marie. And we're doing a continuation, really, of last week's show, our program, because the fact is that it's still in the news, but even if it wasn't, it should be focused on in terms of root causes of societal violence and mass shootings. And we're also going to factor in, because they always want to point to that many of these psychopaths are white, and that so much blame is being put on Trump and his words and rhetoric, even though many times these shootings are, at least in part, sometimes in large part, motivated by even leftist extremist ideology. So really the ideology is not the driving force. It's the psychoses. And the fact is that so many things remain unexplained. So many things are covered up. So many things are misreported or underreported, and sometimes even overreported, because it's all about ratings and it's all about milking this to the nth degree. And so we're trying to look at, you know, what causes these things. And we covered that in great detail last week, but we felt that it was important to carry over and have further discussion, almost like if you're doing multi-hour shows and you continue on with that theme or topic or subject. And Angeline, I'm so glad that you are with me. And we agree on a lot of things. Some areas we take a differing view, which is okay. You know, why don't we pick up from where we left off on the last program, shed some more light, because I think I probably carried more of the conversation because, well, I interjected myself, and I guess I'm the lead host. But nevertheless, there are many weeks that you carry the distance, a lot of material for the program, and we appreciate that. But I want to hear more from your perspective, more from your insights and your research.
Well, like I said, just to recap, a lot of times I believe that these shootings obviously are used to push through gun control laws. I think that's the biggest agenda. So whether these shootings happen organically or not, there's people out there, groups out there that are using them to further their cause, aka gun control or whatever. And then like we discussed last week, we both agreed, I think, that there's also this undercurrent that Trump's behind this. It's all his fault. It's the white supremacist.
When you say Trump's behind this, you're talking about his rhetoric. You know, they
yes,
feel his
I'm sorry.
Inciting these
it's
kids. It's almost like he's holding their
right.
hand and saying, let me put your hand on the, right. you know, he's the trigger point, you know, he's the impetus, you know, the catalyst for these violent eruptions within society. Although when something is said by Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, among others, on the liberal train off the cliff to nowhere in this election cycle, and they're all jumping on, you know, the gun confiscation, gun control train, and they want to go to the nth degree with this. But Trump, it's only Trump is the blame, and it's white nationalism or, you know, and white supremacy. But even if it's a person of color, even if it's a person that is not a United States citizen or natural born citizen, it doesn't matter, because they only want to focus on the whites and on Trump.
Right. Then that's like a 2 second news bleep, and then you never hear more about it if it's somebody who's not white, unfortunately. But where we didn't go in the last show that I kind of wanted to touch on was, you cannot deny that there are anomalies in a lot of these shootings. One that has always stood out in my mind is the Las Vegas shooting. For the Las Vegas shooting and the Orlando shooting, and then recent, I heard this about the Dayton shooting, was people who were on the ground that were in the middle of these shootings have said that they heard as though there was more than one shooter. So, you know, you're on the ground and you've got all this crossfire because you you know, if it's one thing, if somebody's just one shooter and they're shooting and you hear bam, 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 it's going to be the same pitch, you know, but when you hear different cadence and different pitches and it sounds like crossfire, like you're in the middle, it can't be one shooter. So I always thought this was an odd anomaly. I've heard that about Las Vegas, Orlando, Dayton. And I remember Michael Savage, and he had actually, a couple days after that Las Vegas shooting, he was interviewing this woman. Her and her husband had gone to that concert, and she was trying to explain to him how it was to be there. And she had said there was definitely one, more than one shooter, because there's no way that she would have heard the different pitches and the amount of gunfire from one shooter. There's no way a one shooter could have done that. And so I think that's an important thing to point out, because I don't, to me, that's an anomaly that's important. And
yeah, the underreporting of witnesses and victims seems to be evident in most of these cases. And then as soon as a script develops and the scenario is portrayed, they rarely deviate from the official record. And that's disturbing. And that is obviously troubling. So I agree with you there that for some reason, the media and the government seem to meld in molding these events for political purposes at times. And sometimes they'll say, well, we don't want to scare the public or whatever the case might be. And so I agree with you that truth is truth and honest reporting is honest reporting. And it rarely happens. And the government rarely, you know, conveys the entire truth of the matters. They always seem to want to downplay things, cover things up. Whether it's an embellishment, whether it's, you know, a downplay. The fact is that we never get the straight, unvarnished truth. And that's why I think shows like this and others, we try to get to the bottom line truth.
So my question to you, because you just said that, yeah, you've noticed that they get this narrative and they just, that's it. So why would that be, Tom? I mean, why wouldn't they want to talk to someone who was there and try to get more at the root of this?
Well, again, I don't know if we'll ever get the answer to that, but for some reason, you know, our government is prone to not telling us the truth. And for sealing the truth and cloaking the truth. And the media and the government seem to be, you know, in cahoots as it relates to the way the stories are scripted to some extent. That doesn't mean that the event didn't happen, you know, and that people weren't injured or maimed or killed, and that the eyewitnesses didn't see what they saw. But I just think that when they decide what the story is going to be, they rarely want to update us on the fact that they got it wrong or that there's another reason or there might be, like you say, there could be more than a second or third shooter. And I guess the best example really that you can point to is the JFK assassination and conspiracy and cover up. And I've done a lot of reporting on that. I lived in Dallas. You know, I interviewed probably all the Kennedy assassination researchers that had credibility. You know, anyone that believes that there was a lone gunman and that Lee Harvey Oswald was the be-all end-all in the assassination of the president, then you should go on psychotropic drugs or be committed to an insane asylum, because it just didn't happen the way the government told us. And again, I'm not a big UFO paranormal type person, even though we do have that channel and we have the apps at TalkStream Live. But I do believe that we have not been told the truth as it relates to that. And it continues to leak and leak and leak out various things. So there's more than meets the eye there. And then you could go on with just so many different examples of how certain wars started and the purpose behind them. And so, you know, I just wish that the local, state, federal government, the media would just tell us what actually happened and let all voices be heard.
I think they have an end game here, and so it doesn't play into that. They got to keep these things going.
End game, and they have their own designs, and they have their own, you know, motivations, and quite frankly, their own goals that to be set, and that's really, you know, disturbing to say the least.
It's time to go to our first break.
Oh, and this week we're going to try to be a little closer to our break set. So thank you so much, Angeline, for that. We'll be right back. Hold tight. Thank you.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store. TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names, and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do you love watching sports? Well, how would you like to be able to take your favorite sports with you and watch them anywhere? In your house, on your computer, even on your smartphone for one low price. With National Programming Service, you can. That's right, for one low price, so low we can't publish it, you can take your favorite sports anywhere, anytime with you. And we even give you free installation and free premium movie channels. Don't wait. Call National Programming Service right now. You could be up and running and watching your favorite sports and shows in just a few hours. Remember, call in the next 10 minutes and ask about our special radio offer and learn about free installation. Call right now.
800-307-6660. 800-307-6660. 800-307-6660. That's 800-307-6660.
Let's get back to the Tom Donahue Show. Always authentic, independent-minded, and truth-seeking.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue's show. I'm joined by my contributing host, Angeline Marie. We're talking about the mass shootings. We're talking about, you know, gun violence, societal meltdown and breakdown, the menacing acts, you know, the malevolent acts, and the really just the root causes of many of these things. But also, what happens with the role that media plays in terms of the reportage? We're looking at law enforcement and the fit. They miss intentionally or unintentionally some of the red flags and some of the terror threats that are reported and reported repeatedly. And the fact that when a story develops, there seems to be this melding of the government enforcement agencies and the media. And then it comes out like this, you know, scripted and this. Yes, it's really, you know, scripted and staged presentation. It's almost like the way they do it in the movies and in reality TV when they say, oh, it's reality. No, it's unreality because it's scripted. They still have producers and they stop and go. And, you know, that's the way it works. And we're really in search of the truth. And we wish we could have the unvarnished truth. And we wish we could have an independent press. And the fact is that we have a politicized, you know, and political angles and end game press. And that the mass media works. And so we have mass shootings, but that are generally at least identified as lone wolves, as individuals. We know that that's not always the case. And so why don't you continue on, Angeline, with some of, you know, the investigating you've done. And some of it is conjecture, some of it, you know, but it's based on what you believe and what you have uncovered. And that's okay. When we do this responsibly, and of course, we're not in any way trying to inflict any more grief on those families that are grieving. We just want to get to the bottom of what really happened and how did it happen. And why does it continue on happening in this country at such a fast and furious pace?
Well, gun control, for one thing. But when any of these shootings happen, you have to look back as details are coming in, and you have to say, you know, I'm not saying buy into any one narrative or story. I'm just saying listen to all the things that come out, and then you got to stand back and look at the larger picture and say, okay, now where does this fit in? I mean, here we are today. How many years ago was that Vegas shooting? And from what I know, the mainstream narrative is still that there was one shooter. Okay. So why would they hide? If there was more than one, why would they even hide that? So you have to ask yourself these questions. Interestingly enough, last week I was telling you a little bit about what I found out on the Dayton shooter, that he was a leftist Satanist Antifa guy. Obviously, he hated conservatives and he would tweet these terrible things about ICE officials. So I kind of found this commentary on the El Paso shooter because I was sort of looking for information on him, and I found something on this publication called the Washington Standard. And supposedly that guy, his name was Patrick Cruces. His father, you may have heard this, was a counselor, like a psychiatric counselor, and he specialized in trauma and PTSD, and he worked at a mental health system in Dallas that was closed in early 2018. So, I mean, just something like that. It's like, okay, so what are the chances? How could this guy who went in and did this, and look what his dad did for a living, and you mean to tell me the father didn't see any indicators there before this whole thing went down? That's something that makes me stand back and ask some questions. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, I was unaware of that, and quite frankly, you know, I maybe it's not the right thing to do, but a lot of times when these shootings happen, I kind of recoil and I try not to delve too deeply into those details. I know we're doing a show about this, and it is, like you said, it's upsetting, it's disturbing. You know, I try not to keep that in my consciousness so much, and it really does have a profound effect on me. But yeah, these kind of details are important, and I just maybe didn't have take the time or have the opportunity to delve as deep as you did in that particular instance. That is more than curious. And wow, you know, it's, again, these are the kind of things that the public needs to know widespread, not just on the Washington mm-hmm. Standard or whatever. You know, I mean, sometimes it's these obscure and really, you know, hardly known publications that seem to break these stories. And why is there not greater concern and spotlight on these, you know, more important issues in terms of root causes and sometimes background and even recounting from the witnesses or the victims. So yeah, and that Las Vegas shooting, mass shooting, you know, there's so many unanswered questions. There's more unanswered questions than answered questions. I'm surprised that Trump didn't put more pressure on the feds to get to the bottom of this. And there are other things that I think Trump could do a better job at in terms of getting to the bottom. I was glad that, you know, Trump had more JFK documents released, but I really think that by now he should know a lot more about that. And unfortunately, President Trump, and I say this with all due respect, he was sort of like George Bush Jr. You know, they don't like to read. They'd rather watch Fox and Friends and get notes from, you know, their aides and maybe just look at the headlines. You know, I really wish we had a president that read more and that knew more.
Well, there's other details, but I'll wait till we go to our next.
I like thinkers and doers, and I like people that really want to delve as deep as possible and that really want to fully grasp things and not just be at the surface level. You know, I think, you know, you got to get to substance and you really want to be able to fully immerse yourself in things. And this president doesn't do that. And he goes more by impulse and lack of impulse control and instinct. And I believe me, I'm a believer in right brain, instincts, intuition, gut feeling, but also you got to do your homework. And I wish our president would do more of his homework than just reacting to things and more, you know, impulse or lack of impulse control. Right back. Hold tight. More to come.
Is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names, and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Now back to the Tom Donahue Show, putting America first and patriotism in action.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue Show. So glad you can be with us. Patriotism in action. You know, we are truth seekers and we try to get to the bottom line and what is the end game in all of this. But we also have to, I believe, be responsible and have a sensitive spirit as it relates to how this information can impact and import on others. So that's what we try to do. But again, if, as long as you're speaking truth to the best of your ability, the rest of your knowledge, then I really think that you can do no harm and do no wrong. I guess some would say, well, what about white lies and what about, you know, trying to not say things that are unkind? Well, that's true. I mean, I do believe that there are times where you might have to slightly embellish. You might have to be, you know, maybe omit certain things. So you don't want to hurt someone's feeling, but there are times when it's the greater picture and the greater good that you have to, you know, speak truth, even if it sometimes does offend, and if it sometimes is a little less than kind for the parties at hand. So we're talking about the impact of these mass shootings. We're talking about the root causes. We're talking about the fact that we have a lax law enforcement many times that does not always follow up on red flags, that do not follow up many times on credible repeated threats, and that also sometimes we have more at the federal level, but sometimes at state and local level, that the law enforcement is in cahoots many times with the media, and they suppress the entire truth, and sometimes the truth is omitted because they say they're doing it for the general good of society, or that we can't handle the truth, or that we're not ready or prepared to accept the truth. And I just want the truth. I just want the facts and to the best of their ability. And unfortunately, in many instances, we don't get that. Yeah, so there's really no accountability as it relates to these mass shootings, you know, whether it's the media, law enforcement. We're not getting the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And they, for some reason, they think that we can't handle the truth. And it's really sad because when you have all these red flag events, and we're talking about red flag meaning that, you know, there's these terror threats from many of these psychotic individuals. And the fact is that law enforcement doesn't always follow up. They don't take all these threats seriously. We have situations where there's that people report things. People are responsible citizens and they try to care for one another. And we have incidents where they're not being really. So all we're asking is that please tell us the truth, you know, whether it's law enforcement, whether it's the media, but that's too much to ask for. Sadly, you know, when you have the media and you have law enforcement in cahoots in many instances, you know, we're just not getting the truth, you know, and they don't think we can handle the truth. And I just want to get your thoughts on this in terms of the fact that they don't trust us with knowing the truth.
Well, and then they complain about all the conspiracy theories that come up. Well, that's because people are trying to puzzle pieces together. They're trying to figure out what happened because the mainstream media is not doing their job. So if you don't want to foster these false narratives, if you say they're false, then why don't you give us the truth? So what better way? Did they leave the environment? It's such that people start making up their own theories or their own, you know, what they, because they, you know, I think by nature, that's what we do. We try to get closure. We try to figure out the answers to these questions. And so if they're not going to be up front, then this is what you're dealing with. So.
Yeah. I mean, they're fueling the flames of conspiracy because of concealing the truth or giving us partial truths and misleading us. And sometimes, you know, not only embellishing, but sometimes just flat out lying about what has taken place. So yeah, I mean, all we're asking for, and again, everyone's seemingly becoming a citizen journalist, you know, whether it's through their social media, whether it's through, you know, creating a podcast, whether it's just, you know, their Facebook groups or, you know, whatever it might be, YouTube. And so the government needs to be more responsible in terms of law enforcement. The media needs to be more responsible. And the fact is, beyond reporting what they know to be true, the fact that they, you know, get an obsession. I mean, you talk about these psychotics and these psychopaths that have obsessions with violence and obsessions with mass shootings and obsessions with, you know, the devious and the demonic and the diabolical. The media gets obsessed with these events because of ratings, and it fills a lot of their cable news time, and they dwell on this. And in many ways, it's a sick glorification, because it, what was that expression? Is like, all news is good news if it's, you know, if you're getting reported on, you know, if you're getting you know, press, and so the publicity that, you know, the obsessive publicity is really fueling so much of this, because we live in a reality celebrity culture where everybody wants their 15 seconds of fame, whether it's positive, negative, or otherwise.
Right. And I was doing an interview this past week, and we brought up the shootings briefly. And this woman I was interviewing said, you know, also, I think men these days have been so demonized, first of all, with no fathers in the families. But aside from that, now, especially white men, but I think all men across the board are portrayed, you know, as these losers, and they just don't get enough respect. And so her point was that young men today, they're looking for their place. They don't even know if they're supposed to be more feminine or more masculine, because they're, and so she said they don't even know where they're supposed to fit in. And then they get involved in the video game world just to kind of forget about their troubles. And then they're on these drugs, and one thing leads to the next. And this is what you have. You have the perfect ready-made environment for these types of incidents.
Well, we really are emasculated males, and in particular white males. And I mean, just growing up, I can't imagine when I was a teenager, if I was hearing all these bad things that my ancestors or my forebearers, or, you know, the fact is that I should be carrying the guilt of those. And matter of fact, which is ironic, is that, you know, my lineage goes back primarily to Ireland, also Scotland, and they came much later than, you know, so you have a lot of the population, especially, you know, Irish and German and Scottish and, you know, various other European countries, that they came much later. You know, we're talking about the late 1800s or early 1900s. And so what connection do they have to the having this white guilt or white privilege and slavery? So, you know, and then of course many people that are ancestors of those lived in the Northeast and various parts that never had any affiliation or connection with slavery. You know, and you see these candidates, these Dem candidates and dimwit candidates, these demon candidates are with the crocodile tears and their fake posing for their pictures up there on the stage and saying that they feel so guilty and they hate the fact that they're white. I mean, it's insane. I mean, there's no other race that would say that, you know, that it's so ridiculous. And I mean, how can you be guilty of something that you're born into? Nobody should feel superior or inferior based on their race and based on their ethnicity. The fact is you are who you are and how you act and what you create and what you produce. And so to me, it's really sad that if you're a white teenage male, that you're getting this all thrown on you, because you not only do you have the fact that there's this war between, you know, girls and boys and women and men, but then you have the race factor. And then what if you're a white poor male and you're still privileged because of your skin color? If you're also living maybe in inner city, or maybe you're living in the Appalachians, you know, there's so many stories of people, as a matter of fact, people that are successful now that came from very almost primitive, you know, I mean, very difficult backgrounds and made the most of themselves. But they didn't come from any kind of wealth or privilege, or, you know, they didn't get any special, you know, opportunities granted to them because of their so-called whiteness.
Well, it's time to go to another break, Tom.
Well, someone's got to keep me on track here, and I appreciate that. More to come. Hold tight. Right back.
Is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Now, back to the Tom Donahue Show. Liberty-loving and freedom-fighting.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue Show, joined by Angeline Marie, my contributing host. And we're talking about, I mean, most of the time we stay on like one subject or theme because we really want to delve deeply into certain things. But this is kind of, they're related in terms of white privilege, you know, alleged white privilege, blaming people that are white for just about everything. And the fact is that many of these shooters happen to be, you know, white, young teens, or maybe even sometimes early 20s. And yes, and there are other examples and exceptions, but you have to start looking at the culture. And the fact is the culture does have a great impact on these kids' behaviors. Although everybody has to take responsibility, because we don't all, I mean, most of us have impulse control, and many of us don't act on things that we're mad at or that we feel deprived of, you know, or disrespected. So it's really sad when you see the sick and sinister nature arise. And we do have the satanic and dark forces that influence these kids. And some of them are into devil worship. And some of them, you know, have completely forsaken any faith in a creator God. And some of them are coming from families that are really dysfunctional and broken families, but not all of them. And many of them are on psychotropic drugs, and many of them are involved in this dark, deep, you know, internet culture. And the fact is that this dark web, and the fact that they're involved in a lot of these private clubs, and they're into this video game culture and violent movies. And the fact is that they glorify violence, and they really see these kids that are doing the mass shootings and doing various other things that are illegal and unlawful and immoral. They see them as heroes, and then the media glorifies these characters. And quite frankly, the media is an accomplice to many of these crime scenes. And then we don't get the truth and the root causes of really what has happened at these mass shooting events, at these spectacles. And so law enforcement also is less than honest with us, and many times has not done their job adequately to prevent some of these threats that were well known and many times reported on. So that's kind of a recap to some degree as to what I'm thinking and what the last two shows have been about.
And there's more and more television programming specifically aimed at putting down or shaming, I should say, white people. And I saw a post this past week. There's a program called Dear White People, and it's an all-black cast. I have no idea what it's about, but just from looking at what I saw, it seems to me it's probably one of those type of shows. And there was somebody that said, this girl piped up and said, boy, this seems really racist to me. It was a white woman that said this. And then this other white woman said, oh, yeah, but you don't get it. You grew up with white privilege. So here we are again, you know, and that's why they call it television programming, because they are programming a population to really not like white people. And here, this is what I think is so strange. They beat this millennials over the head about diversity and accepting everybody and everybody's background. And now they're trying to deprogram them and say, oh, wait, except for white people, you can't accept them. So now
if you're a poor white person that and their family background is not of any kind of privilege, and they're just, you know, is downtrodden, as anyone of color might be, then, you know, you're still privileged because you just have white skin, not because of your upbringing, your background, or any special opportunities that may have you've been bestowed with. And so it's really very sick and sinister, quite frankly. And the other thing is that you're looking at, you've talked about the word programming. Well, not only is the media programming this, but all these psychopathic killers are being programmed by the media. And when I say the media, we're talking about video games, movies, YouTube, social media, and much more. So the fact is that a lot of this is getting programmed into being drilled down into not only these potential killers, but also just the fact that imagine the psychological makeup of many people that are certainly white and male, but just white overall, as they continue growing up and they keep hearing this from their politicians and from the media and from the liberal crazed left, that, you know, you're just no good because you have white skin. It doesn't matter that you have fought for civil rights and racial equality. It's amazing to me that many of these white folks have really fought for the downtrodden and the underprivileged, and so they're still getting blamed just because they have white skin.
Right. So what do you do with that? I mean, if you're a young, depressed white person and you're constantly told how awful you are, and that you should be ashamed for being your color. I don't know what you do with that.
And then you have these hip hop concerts, and you have these events that, and there was a lot of blowback finally on this, that they said, well, if you're white, you pay more money when you come to our events. And even some of the people of color just said, wait a minute, this doesn't sound right. This is going too far. Just because that person's white, you're going to charge them a higher rate to attend the event? I mean, to me, it's clear discrimination at targeting race. And quite frankly, you know, if that was done in reverse, in, you know, I mean, there would be such outrage. But the media didn't really, they reported on it and let the you know, some of the voices be known, but they didn't, they never cast judgment, and they never, they didn't have any righteous indignation. And matter of fact, if there weren't voices of color that spoke up, thankfully, then the media would not have reported on that, because they said, oh, that's acceptable because it's a person of color that's taking advantage, and it's doing the reverse discrimination.
I know. And Tom, you know what I think of often, because like yesterday I'm in the coffee shop, and there's probably, these are Generation Z. They were really young. So say they were like 14-year-old boys or something. It was a group, a mixed race group. It was white and black kids, and they were having a good old time. And I'm looking at that, and I go to my gym, and it's a melting pot of colors, and we're not at each other's throats. So, but then you go and you turn on TV, and if you look at television, you would think everybody's hates each other. But yet when I go out in my community, I don't see that. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there aren't pockets of it and there's no racists. Of course there are. But I'm not seeing it to the extent that the television programming is trying to program it into people's minds, I think, so that they can divide people. That's really what
When I walk out my door here, you know, and enter Northeast Philadelphia, I mean, it is a mixture, you know, of people from all backgrounds. And you're right. I mean, for the most part, we act, you know, respectful and jovial. And so when I have that reality check, when I'm saying, wait a minute, I'm in this store, I'm in this, you know, diner, I'm in this place, and we're all acting like we're just people. And so the media doesn't want to portray that, that in normal societal reality is that most people try to get along, and most people really do want to get along, but the media is perpetuating this narrative and this scenario that really is not based in large part in reality. So it's all being programmed and scripted by the mass media, and also the people that own the mass media. And the fact is that, you know, it there are spiritual forces at play here, as well as cultural and societal, and the fact is that what the norms that they're trying to project really are untrue, and really don't mesh with reality. And so the reality check is that people in general don't want to really buy into this, and they don't want to be a part of this media narrative.
I agree. I think people, thank God, people, I think, see it for what it is. I hope people don't start acting on the programming they're trying to shove down our throat.
Well, they want the civil unrest, apparently. They want a race war. They want this to happen in order for them, I guess, to impose, you know, a different societal will. And so it's very alarming, and we should be on guard. And that's why we're taking on these difficult and very challenging subjects, and hoping to shed some light and maybe raise actually more questions than answers. But we're trying to make this a thoughtful and well-intended program of substance, and not just simply of style and just following the herd.
Right. Well, we're out of time. Another
yeah,
show.
Well, another program in the books. You know, you helped keep me motivated and keep me on track, and it's been another meaningful and significant show. I think we'll let the listeners decide. Till we meet again, I'm Tom Donahue for Angeline Marie. Have a great week. Thank you.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names, and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.